That's Carl hurrying right there. Oh, goodness. You know, Carl's got a birthday coming up, too. 100 and what was it? He does. When is it? It's like a week, I think, right? Like the 22nd? 26th. Oh, yeah, day after Christmas. So he and Jesus, he's like one day younger than Jesus. Okay. Good morning. Don't you love Christmas? The one thing I don't like about this time of year is traffic. Have you noticed, like, right after Thanksgiving, the traffic gets, like, really bad? And so I don't even like to go out of the house, which means it makes it really hard for me to do any, like, shopping or anything. But I love that we can get online now and just pick things out and just punch a few buttons and boom. You've done your shopping, and you don't have to go out at all. That is cool. Christmas is almost here. So how many of you are done with your Christmas shopping? Look at you. You guys are awesome. The rest of you? Not so much. You know, it's funny. This is kind of the time of year where people are always scrambling to get gifts for other people. I remember Christmas as a kid, and my mom would always put up the tree the day after Thanksgiving, and then within a week or two, gifts would start appearing under it. You know, it was kind of fun as a kid. We would always, I had three brothers, and we would run out whenever a gift appeared to see whose it was, and if it was bigger than my other brother's, right? So I remember one year I had the biggest present under the tree, and I knew that at that moment, my parents loved me more than my brothers, and it was just an exciting time for me. So for me, you know, getting the biggest gift meant that I was the most loved in the family, and it turned out to be true. I think it's interesting how we view the getting and giving of gifts. Seems like our criteria on who's going to get a gift, you know, it's whether you're naughty or nice, right? I was thinking about Christmas and just some of the fun things for me, and I think I've told this story a couple years ago. I was eating in this restaurant, and I could see out the window as people were coming in, and this dad, I think he wasn't used to being with the kids by himself. I think he always had his wife with him, but for some reason he's taking the kids to breakfast, and one of them is like not going in. He's defying his dad, and finally you can see dad kind of point to the corner like, you go to timeout right over there, and I saw dad kind of walk away just a little bit, and this little guy was left in the corner. And so I was finishing my meal, and I got up, and as I got up, dad goes back over to the child and takes the child again by the arm, and the child again is trying to be defiant and not go in, and I paid for my meal, and I walked out the door, and the little boy was sitting right on the ground, and I went out, and I said, well, hello, and the boy looks up at me, and his dad says, who does that look like? True story. And the little boy, these great big eyes, goes, Santa Claus? Are you Santa Claus? And I said, well, I don't know, but I've been watching. I said, have you been nice? And he went. And I said, have you? He went. But you will now. And he got right up. Went with his dad, and I said, we'll see you. I'll be watching as I walk. And dad mouthed these words. it was great. Yeah, I did. I laughed. I remember playing Santa when I was about 16 or 17 in the mall, believe it or not. I'm from a little town. They couldn't find anyone else, and so I was actually skinny at the time, and I put on this Santa outfit, and I had this little girl that came by every day that I was working. And one day, her mom saw me in the mall, and she said, I didn't have the outfit on, and she could tell who I was. I don't know how. But the mom said, I just want to tell you that you are my daughter's favorite Santa Claus. She won't go to any other Santa Claus that comes in. And I said, oh, that's so sweet. And so the next time I was there, she had brought me a little thing of cookies and a picture that she drew for me. And she looks up at me and she says, Santa, you're my favorite Santa Claus. And I said, favorite Santa Claus? Well, I'm the only Santa Claus. And she says, oh, no, you may not know it, but when you leave, another one comes. Oh, it's so nice. So I do, I love this time of year and all that it represents, but I love the gifts. I love getting together with people that we love. I just love everything about it. Oops, I got an itch and I hit that, sorry. You know, but I think that some of this idea of naughty and nice and being given gifts because we're either naughty or nice kind of begins to influence us in areas other than Christmas. I think we really believe that if I'm good, I get good things. And so we define ourselves, for the most part, as being good, don't we? It's like very few of us will sit down and say, wow, I'm just naughty. We all kind of say, no, I'm a good person. As a matter of fact, we have this belief that people, for the most part, are good, right? And so you actually hear people teach. They say, you know, it's people at their very core are good. And there are things that teach them in society to make wrong decisions, but for the most part, we're all good. And so we believe that because we're good, that we then deserve certain things in our life. And so I wanted to look at that a little bit and see if maybe we might be missing the mark on that. So I think most of us, if we were to wake up on Christmas and open our gifts only to find that they contained a lump of coal, I guess that most of us would protest at some point. That some of us would think of all the ways we've been nice to people and or a particular person who left us that coal, right? How dare they leave us a piece of coal? After all that I've done, how dare they just give me a piece of coal? And we would form arguments about why we deserve more than a piece of coal. I don't think most of us would put ourselves in the naughty column. Here's what, I looked up the word naughty, okay? Just because, you know, I think of naughty and I think, okay, this is, but it's a little bit more than what I thought. So I think we're all going to agree that most of us would say we are nice and not define ourselves as naughty. And here's the definition of naughty. It says, vicious, immoral character. And then in red words, where I looked it up, it said wicked. Guilty of disobedience or misbehavior is a naughty child. I think some people think that it's cute to say at times that they're naughty. I've heard people say, yeah, I'm naughty sometimes, and they kind of chuckle. And yet, if we look at the word, we say that it is actually a person saying, I'm being wicked. So while at times they may refer to themselves as naughty, I think that most people would agree that at our very core, at their very core, they are just, they're not naughty, they just act naughty sometimes. Most of us are not going to go so far as to define ourselves and our character in that way. So we believe that we're intrinsically good. And what we do is we have a picture of what we believe naughtiness is or evil is. And there is one person that always comes up, it seems, whenever I hear people talk about evil. and they will compare themselves or the situation or a person when we're talking about evil to this person. Who is that person? Anybody think? Hitler. Whenever we think of evil in the world, for us, as we look at history, for our history, we think of Hitler and how horrible he was. And so what we do is we'll compare ourselves to him. And compared to Hitler, I'm looking really good, aren't I? Yeah, you're going to have to agree. I'm a very good person compared to Hitler. And so that's what we tend to do when we think of ourselves as being good. We think, compared to so-and-so, I'm good. Now, am I better than so-and-so? Wow, they're kind of weird. They're like really good. And so I was watching a news channel the other day, and they were talking about different people that are on this particular station, and they got to this one person. They said, she's like perfect. She was the one that they didn't find much fault in. She was just this wonderful young lady. And so we compare ourselves, don't we? And so to prove that we're good, we can think of Hitler and go, boom, got it, I'm in. I'm in the good column, right? And so as I was thinking about this, I thought, gosh, Christmas. What would it be like for me if I really thought about what Christmas is about? I mean, why in the world is Christmas such a big deal? Really, think about this. Last week, Dave spoke, and he brought up a story. I want to look at it again this week in Luke 2. And it's in Luke 2, verses 8 through 14. And this is a story of the shepherds that are in the field. And they're keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, right? I have it memorized. And I think you do too. We know this story very well. Let's look at it. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He's Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find this baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest and on earth among those with whom he is pleased." What a night. And yet, it comes as such a familiar story to us, doesn't it? So familiar that we can all kind of tell the story, and the excitement that the angels had is really not there for us. I mean, it's kind of cool, okay? So these guys are out in a field, and they're stuck out there at night watching a bunch of sheep. They're hanging out. They're doing whatever shepherds do at night in a field, you know, probably looking for wolves or just kind of talking. And suddenly, this angel appears to them out of nowhere. And the light, the glory of him lit up the whole area. Now, if you're one of these shepherds, you're going, whoa. Okay, and so when he pronounces this, he says, "This is good news. It's what you've waited for. It's finally coming." And then suddenly all these other angels appear and they start to party. Okay, and they're just singing and jumping and saying, "Glory, this is amazing. This is it." This is what? Because I think sometimes when we think about Christmas, we can remember the stories. We can tell about the shepherds. We can tell about the wise men. We can even say what they brought. We can name them, name the articles they brought. We can talk about the little baby that got wrapped in these little clothes and they laid him in a manger because there's no room for him in the hotel nearby. It's a great little story. But if we miss the point of it all, at some point, have we really missed the point of all of it? We go, yeah. So he came, he's like a savior of the world and all of that. And we just kind of talk about it as if it was just a story. Angels show up. We've heard the story so many times. It's become so familiar that I think for many of us, I think even, I'll just say for me, until I really think about it, I lose the excitement in it. Because sometimes what Christmas has become for me is a lot of traffic and having to buy gifts for people that they don't really need. Kelly will come to me, what do you want for Christmas? And I'll say, I don't need anything. I know, but what do you want? Right? Because we got to get a list. And we got to send the list to everybody so they can look at the list and decide what to get me for Christmas. Because that's what we do at Christmas. And so the gifts that I'm giving are not based on any need that I have. They just may be some wants. And actually, quite honestly, I have to make those wants up because I really don't want them that much or I would have them. Right? So that's what Christmas has kind of become, and I think for many people that's what it's become. It's become this time where I just don't really have the money to spend, and yet I don't want that person to think that I don't like them. I don't want that person to think that in some way I don't think of them, and so I have to get them something, and it can't just be anything. I mean, for me, if you ask me, what do you want for Christmas, I'll say a pair of socks. Why? Because I'll never be disappointed if it's more than a sock. Anything's better than socks. So if you bring me socks and that's what I ask for, then I'm not disappointed. But if I ask for something better and you bring me socks, I get disappointed. So gifts, Christmas. I think sometimes we lose the meaning of it. And so it's interesting, as I was praying this morning, I just felt like the Lord really encouraged me to continue on in Ephesians, because I want to look at something that comes up next in Ephesians. It's in Ephesians 2. We just start chapter 2 in Ephesians as I've been kind of going through Ephesians on my own. And I want you to look at what it says about us. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath. Why were the angels so excited? Because a Savior had come. None of us is nice, is what this is saying. None of us deserves a Savior. None of us deserves a Christmas present. It says, like the rest of mankind, that means all of us, we are all naughty and undeserving of anything other than a lump of coal. We were without hope. We were without hope because of our condition, which was not good. Now pay attention to these next two words. These two words change everything. We deserve nothing but the wrath of God. All of his creative energy being directed toward us to do us harm. That's what the wrath of God is. Think about that. God, who spoke everything into existence, because of sin, because of who we are, we were dead and we deserve his wrath as a righteous God. And his wrath, if you can imagine, is everything directed toward you to do you in. That's the wrath of God. Okay, it's not just this, oh, we're going to go and party in hell. It's God's wrath that we deserved. Okay? Next two words. Look at this. But God. We were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God. but God. Those two words are amazing. But God was not content to allow us to be stuck there. He had every right, as a righteous God, to pour out his wrath on us. But God. This is why the angels personally came to announce the birth of Jesus. This is why the multitude of angels showed up that night and started partying. Look at this. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us. But God, you deserve this. On Christmas, under your tree, you deserve nothing but a lump of coal. But God, being rich in mercy and because of his great love, mercy, not giving us what we deserve. Because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Jesus, God, wasn't content just to be merciful. He wasn't content to just say, I'm not going to give you what you deserve. He even goes a step further. I'm going to give you what you don't deserve. Grace. I'm going to give you a gift that there's no reason whatsoever that I should give this to you. You don't deserve it. Grace. That's why the angels sang. We were dead. We were nothing. We had no hope. That's why the angels, it was a big deal. Can you imagine being an angel watching Adam and Eve fall? And no, watching God, first of all, speak into existence everything, and then see his love for Adam and Eve, and then watch their rebellion. And they saw all of this, and they knew then that there was a promise given that God would not leave us in that state. And they didn't know when that time was going to be, and then suddenly God comes to this angel, and he says, now. The time is now. Go and tell them. And so this angel goes, yes. And so he jumps out onto earth and he goes, hey. And they go, whoa. He says, no, don't be afraid. This is good news. I got some really good news for you. Yeah, you know, I think if he came today, a lot of people would go, oh, yeah, I've heard it before. Good news. God went beyond mercy. He then extends grace to us. It's a loving gift to us, which is the opposite of what we deserve. And then read on. Not only that, it says, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show his immeasurable riches, the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. Let it sink in. We who deserved wrath, he brought mercy because he loved us. And then he gives us grace. And then he sits us in heavenly places with Jesus so that, look at what it says, in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches, immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God. I can tell you this gift is so big it won't fit under the tree. It won't. If you were to go and check the tree like I did as a little boy, it's like, sorry, that gift's outside, and as a matter of fact, it's so big you can't see anything but it. That's how much he loves me. See, because the bigger the gift, the more he loves me, right? That's kind of how it works. This gift was so big, it doesn't fit under the tree. And it's not a result of anything I did. It's not a result of me being nice. It's given to me though I was completely naughty. It's not a result of works so that no one can boast. Guys, you're not good enough to do this. That's what it's saying. No matter how good you are, you don't deserve it. And if you think that just by working and being good, and I know there are some friends of mine, I'm going to talk to them right now, that listen to this message all the time when it's put on Facebook, on my Facebook. And I'm just going to tell you guys, listen, by you being good, I know that you think you're doing your best and that God would not reject that. Can I tell you that your goodness is not good enough? Your condition is horrible. And you deserve, like I did, wrath. For the Christian, you'll read these words at the beginning of chapter 2, and it says, this is the way you once were. This is the way you once were. Remember this. This is how you once were. Look at verse 11. Starts out with two words. That's all I want you to look at. Therefore, remember. Verse 12. Remember that you were at the time separated from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's why I like Christmas. Because Christmas is our time to remember that before Christ came, we had no hope. God was not in the world. As a matter of fact, if you remember in the dream that Joseph has, when the angel comes to him and says, hey, you know what? Don't worry about Mary. It's true. She's pregnant, but it wasn't anybody else. I made her pregnant. She's a virgin. And then he goes on and says, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. You know what the word Emmanuel means? God with us. Until that moment, God was not with us. When Jesus came, it meant now God is with us. Before, it says right here, we were without hope and without God in this world. Now he's here. And if you've received him, it's the greatest gift you're ever going to be given. And you're going to find that it keeps getting better and better and better and better. But if you haven't, there's a gift that's sitting waiting for you to open it. And if for some reason you think that you don't need it, what do you want for Christmas? I don't need anything. This is the one case where you do. Without this gift, you still are set for wrath. Why? Because he's just. You know, people say, well, how can God do that if he's loving? He's just. He's perfectly loving and he's perfectly just, and he does not want to pour out on his wrath on anyone. That's why he sent Jesus. That was his love that said, okay, look, they don't deserve anything but judgment. They are not nice, they're naughty. But I'm going to give them the greatest gift and the most expensive thing I have. The thing that I cherish most. I'm going to give them my son. And with him comes hope. Because now his son, who gets to live on this earth and show us who God is and how much God loves us. Read about it. All through the New Testament, read about who God is. See who God is as you look at what Jesus did. He said, I didn't come to bring judgment on the world. Not this time he didn't. He came so that we could know the Father. He came to stand in our place. This is the greatest news that was ever given anyone on earth. when the angels appeared, it is the greatest announcement that's ever been made. And like the shepherds, you can choose to go and see. Or, unlike the shepherds, you can choose to stay in a field watching sheep. And so for those of you that don't know Jesus, that really, that you've heard the story, the story's familiar, but you're still bound by all the stuff. You know, people tell me they're doing really well, they really don't need God. I remember I was in Australia one time, years and years ago, and there's a young man we were witnessing to on the streets, and there were like three people talking to him, and he was just arguing everything. And so I said to him, when I came, I said, can I just ask you a question? He says, yeah. I said, you know, I understand out here with a bunch of people, if you're like me, you know, you kind of want to present that you've got it all together and that you're okay on your own. I get that. But at your core, let me ask you a question. When you go home tonight and you're laying in your bed all alone and it's just you, what do you think? And he just kind of stopped. He said, honestly, I'm really lonely. I said, yeah. And we began to talk then at that level where we're just being honest. You see, if we're all really honest, we would agree I need something more than what I have. I need something more than what this world provides. I need a hope. Because the things that I've placed my hope in always disappoint. Whether it's people or finances or position or power or sex, all of it, at some point, you just go, it just isn't enough. So the angels came and proclaimed, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people, all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. That's Christmas. There is hope because of Christmas. That's what Christmas is all about. So remember who you are or who you were. And when you do, thank God for the hope that he's given you. I pray that all of you have taken time to unwrap this present. That it isn't just a thing to do or still trying to be good enough. You know, some people go to church because that's what you're supposed to do. You know, are you a good Christian? No. Whatever that is. But I do trust in Jesus Christ, my Savior, who came and gave his life for me. And then by grace, he just pours it out on me. And without him, I'm nothing. With him, I have everything I ever wanted. So remember, as we get close to Christmas, what it's about. Amen. I love you guys so much. You're awesome. Thanks, Martha. I'll give you your $10 later. This is Christmas. I hope this year will be different for you. I hope that you will be the angels proclaiming to people. That your light will shine bright. That people, when they see you, will say, oh my goodness. And you can say, don't be afraid. I know it looks awesome, but hey. No, but your light would shine so that people would see the love of Christ for them and that you can present to them in a loving way the good news of Christmas. Today, a Savior is born. There is a hope that's been given. His name is Jesus, and all you have to do is say yes to him and allow him to come into every part of your life, and you will find that he continues to just give you stuff that you never dreamed possible. Okay? Amen? Great. Want to play a quick song? Because that's what we do, right, on a Saturday morning. But if you... This is Sunday already? Whoa, how time flies. Oh, man. I don't get to see you guys now for about a month. So I'm leaving this Thursday to go to Kansas to be with some family and have Christmas, and then I come back, and I'll be here for one day, and then we get on a plane to go to Uganda, and we'll be over there for about 3 weeks. So you're going to have to put up with Carl for a month. Yeah, and now you're going to know what I have to put up with, okay? All right, let's sing a song really quick. And honestly, if you've not given your life to Jesus, if you've heard this story and it's just been a story, this morning you can open that gift. It's completely freely offered to you. And so even if you're, those of you that are listening to this, you should have never told me that. Now I'll talk to you all the time. It's more than a religion. It's a relationship. It's a hope that you can have no other way. And you can't be good enough for it. Only Jesus was. And so he took your place. He died in your place, and he took the punishment that we deserved upon himself so that we could be loved and we could love him. Okay, so if you need prayer for anything this morning, come on up. Doesn't mean that you're not saved. It just